to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday wanting to jump right back into our subject that we had last session. You know, these videos are so fun. I enjoy them so much because they're so packed full of simple truth as to you beginning to develop tangibility in your relationship with God. Do you know tangibility in any relationship is supposed to be there? I'll share this. We'll talk on this another time, but the word connection means time, tangibility, and shared experiences. If you're going to have a connection with somebody, there's going to be some time involved. That time will involve tangibility of some sort, and that tangibility and time will always end up with shared experiences. Think about this. If you were to hang out with a buddy over lunch, not only are you having time with him or with a woman, whatever, with a friend, but you're also having tangibility. Now, afterwards, let's just say my wife asked me, hey, when you were with Chris, what'd you guys talk about? And I could give you testimony to the tangibility and time. Or that she could say, what were you guys doing? And I said, well, you know, we ended up grabbing a football out of the trunk and started throwing it like we used to back in high school. And I would have testimony as to what the time and tangibility produced. And I want you to know that a connection with God, which is what God created us to have. He didn't create us to search for a connection. He created us like suction cups where we just absolutely connect with God. But the sad thing is, if you're not connecting with God, those same suction cups will connect with something. And that's the part where we have to ask ourselves the biggest question. If we're not experiencing God, what are we connected to that we are experiencing in a more real fashion? Well, it's already been good. I could stop right now. This would be worth our time. But let's just go a little further into the invitation that Jesus gives us over in Matthew chapter 11, 27 to 30. And no, if someone's asking the question, do you ever get tired of giving that same scripture every time for Adventures in Grace? And I will tell you, I do not get tired. Because I love it so much. It always speaks to me. And my relationship with the Lord is continually growing. How about yours? It's getting better and better, and I'm progressing. And the more I progress, the more I want to hear that Jesus now resumed talking to the people, but yet tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does, but I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Well, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Wow, that's so, so good. I'm going to jump right back in Mark chapter 5, not because I need to do a lot of rehearsal or go back over what we said the last time, but I do want to bring as a reference point what we're talking about. Number one, that little boy that was thrown into the fire, thrown into the water by demons they tried to destroy him, and the Father went to the disciples of Jesus and they could not cast him out. And Jesus came and said, what kind of generation do we have? There's no focus. There's no sense of God. How long do I have to go over these things? And he cast the devil out, and the disciples came to him in the Message Bible. It says, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said, because you're not yet taking God seriously. Then King James says, this kind comes out by prayer and fasting, and you didn't get him out because of your unbelief. The unbelief isn't because they didn't present themselves before that devil and before that boy and that father, and with an urgency and with faith in their heart say, come out of him in the name of Jesus Christ. They did that. But that devil didn't come out to that particular command. The unbelief Jesus was talking about is not how they presented themselves before that devil or that boy. The unbelief was that when it didn't seem to work out the way they thought it would, they gave up as though they were now defeated and they couldn't do anything else. We are never defeated, folks. We are the champions. Glory to God. We are the winners. We are overcomers and more than an overcomer. We're always victorious. When you're in Christ and Christ is in you, you are the victory. So we will not put up with defeat. I know it's easy to do so, and sometimes I need somebody to stare me in the face and say the same thing. It's easy to get distracted by this world and by the flesh and all of a sudden give in and give up as though we don't know what we're doing, but we have a helper, the Holy Spirit, that is there to give us understanding and lead us into the truth and help us and show us things to come, that we might always walk on the edge with Jesus, where we've got victory after victory. And this is what Jesus was saying. You gave up, everybody. So what did he say next? This comes out by prayer and fasting. What was he saying? If you'll live the prescription of always turning your back on the world and turning your face toward God, you will be sensitive to the things of the Spirit and you will know him. And by knowing him, you'll know what to do. Mark 5, 6 to 13 says, when he, Jesus from afar, or when he, this man saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. And then the devil cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For Jesus said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then Jesus asked him, what is your name? And he, the devil, answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And the devil begged Jesus earnestly that Jesus would not send them out into the country. Now a large herd of swine were feeding there near the mountains, so all the demons begged Jesus, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter there. And at once Jesus gave them permission, and that devil came out, and that man was free. Can you see what took place here? We'll just state it very quickly and go on, because we covered it last time. Jesus did cast that devil out, but it didn't come out. So did Jesus, you know, did he curl up in a fetal position and cry, daddy, 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 what happened? No, come on. He's walking with the Holy Ghost. He's in fellowship with the Father. What did Jesus constantly say? I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it. Well, when you're walking with God like that and something doesn't seem to work, guess what? God will give you the answer. And Jesus heard himself say to the man, you know, what's the name? And the moment he had the name of that devil, that legion, that thing was screaming to get out and bargaining to try to get out into some swine so they didn't wander in a dry place. Folks, do you see the answer here of what we're talking about? It's so easy to get distracted by the world, and that's exactly what the world is all about. It's all about distractions. This present tense world is very perverse. It's backwards. What's right is now wrong. What wrong is now right. What's up is down, and what's down is what up. We know the prophet Isaiah talked about these things, but we're living in the day where it's hard to imagine people can think what they think. They change words all the time. Bad is now good, and good is now bad. How do we come to this place? Slowly, step by step by step, click, 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 after another click, we just went away from God until we forgot what it was like to actually be there. And then we develop new normal after new normal after new normal, which is something the world is famous for doing. This is the new normal. Well, no, it's not. The normal exists in Jesus and in God, my Savior and my Father. We've got to come back to actually what is so central in as far as truth is concerned, and that is Jesus is the answer. Well, I know it sounds a little bit trite to say stuff like that, and people, yeah, Jesus this and Jesus that, but I'm telling you what, when you're walking in demonstrations, people have to actually admit that the thing that we're talking about is true. That's what it was like with Peter and John at the temple. And at that gate to the temple, there lay a man that was laid there from his mother's womb who could not walk, and everybody knew who he was because he was begging for some type of money, food, or whatever he could do to get by. And when Peter and John saw that man, they said to that man, look at us. And he gave him his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter and John said, such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that man rose up, that man walked, Peter grabbed his hand, pulled him up, and he ran all over the place, and people saw him now. The Pharisees wanted to kill Peter and John, but they could not because the people recognized it was a notable miracle. Come on, this is where we're living today. This is why we're talking about these things. It's so, so very important. You know, Jesus used the word of the Message Bible, you have no focus. You have no sense of God. You see, as we begin to turn our face toward God, then the things we turn our face toward, we begin to pick up sensory organs. In other words, those abilities within our senses start to pick up on the thing that we give our attention to the most. I'll say that again. The thing that you give yourself the attention to the most, your sensory organs begin to pick up on. Over in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, it talks about these things, that if you'll begin to practice the things of the Spirit, you'll become very sensitive to that which is of good and evil. I love the Passion Translation. It says you'll begin to sense the heavenly realm. Well, how do you sense the heavenly realm? You have to give yourself to it. And this is where we spend time with the Lord and we allow him to become real. Just like Jesus said, I've got a unique father and son operation coming out of father and son intimacies and knowledge. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. And then he went on to say, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Which means what? The antithesis, the opposite to a relationship with God is the religion that wears you out, that burns you out, that gets you tired. It puts heavy weights upon you. But Jesus brings out all the best in you and gives you such liberty and freedom when you walk with God. And the word of God portrays this so wonderfully. I'm over here in Romans chapter 4, 18 to 25. And listen to this here in the Message Bible. Says, when everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway. Well, when God's real to you, you don't care how hopeless it looks. You believe him. Deciding to not live on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. Think about that. To not live any longer based on the idea of what I can't do. You live based off the embrace of what you know God said he will do. This is where your victory comes, when you change your focus. That's good. And so he was made father of a multitude of people. God himself said to him, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. And verse 19 said, Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say, it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child. Nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. See, he could have put his focus there. He could have made that, in other words, what his body couldn't perform and what Sarah's body could no longer receive, he could have put that as the clear focus. Focus means clarity. In other words, clarity to him was, hey, I'm so sorry. I can't believe this. I know my body is not able to produce. Sarah's body's not able. But we cannot have a child at this age. And he could have focused on that, brought clarity to it. In other words, like opening the shades, and that became what was real to him. And what becomes real to you is where you will give your allegiance. In other words, it's where you will put your faith. It's what you will believe. But it says he did not bring clarity to that which is of the flesh and the world, which means that means he had to lower the expectation or the value of the flesh and the world while he raised the value of God and his connection that was spiritual. Come on, everybody. This is simple, but at the same time, it's profound. It says he plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God. Now, isn't that interesting? He plunged into the promise. Plunged. Well, he plunged into the water. He jumped off the diving board and plunged into the water. In other words, he was all in. This is where the world is messing with us, everybody. There are so many options. The old timers like A.W. Tozier would say this over 100 years ago. They would say 120 years ago. They made these kind of comments, which were this. Real faith is where you put yourself on purpose in a position where you can't go back. In other words, you don't need to go back when you're out there with Jesus. It's not sink or swim. It's just go over. He said pseudo faith is where you have a way out just in case God fails you. Now think of what that means. That's what it's talking about. He plunged into the promise and came up strong. I like this here. Go back just one sentence. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise asking cautiously skeptical questions. Well, you sure this is going to work? What do you think about this? How do you know? Man, if you're asking all these questions, all you're doing is putting yourself in a position to allow that which is of the flesh of the world to become more real to you. Why don't you ask questions of God? Father, I thank you. Lord, how easy is this going to be? Man, how prosperous am I going to be? This is amazing. Put yourself in a position to say, well, what's the possibility if God actually did come through? Then maybe this victory would be amazing. And then put yourself in a position to say, you know what? God will come through because he can't fail. So I've got this in the bag. And all of a sudden you begin to talk to yourself and position yourself to see things from a spiritual perspective. It goes up to say, he plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he said. That's why it said Abraham was declared fit before God by trusting God to set him right. Because it's not just Abraham, it's also us. The same thing gets said about us when we embrace and believe the one who brought Jesus to life when the conditions were equally hopeless. Think about this. When the conditions were hopeless, when it didn't look like Jesus was coming out of the grave, but God said he would raise him up on the third day. He came out of the grave early on the third day. He didn't come out of the grave late. He came out early. I'm telling you, God's always early. Don't think he's just getting there on time. He's always early. He's just waiting on you to embrace the idea that it's not about you or what you can do. It's all about him and what he can do. Said the sacrifice Jesus made us fit for God and set us right. Well, we know this is a history here. Verse 19 of Romans 4, it says, and not being weak in faith, in the New King James Version, he did not consider his own body. It's time for us to stop considering the things that are right before us in the flesh and in the world. Listen to this. God wants us to have awareness of the spiritual realm. To live out of the flesh or materiality of this world is a very low form of life. This is why Jesus always deferred to the spirit realm for all provision. I'm going to say it like this as I read you one story here that's a great story. This is wonderful. Amen. And it's so good to have some of these stories, is it not? Well, let me read one of these here to you. I'm going to shine a little light on it. It says, just finished listening to Knowing What to Do, one, and I felt prompted to write and share with you two great stories. The first is very simple yet profound and powerful. About 5 years ago, I noticed a small wet spot on the carpet in the corner of our basement floor. I called several companies to come out and diagnose and give an estimate for a solution repair. It was not an exact science at that time. They did what they thought would fix the problem, and it was not cheap. I didn't notice the problem after, but a couple of months ago, I noticed a wet spot in another corner, so I decided to check the original spot as well. Both were slightly damp, and the floorboard trim had moisture damage. I talked to my Heavenly Father about it, expressed my concern of finding a company that could diagnose and correct the problem accurately without breaking the bank. Since I discovered these damp spots just before the business of the holidays, I let it go. I knew in the back of my mind that this would need to be dealt with at some point, unless the spots dried up supernaturally, which I was very open to. But I let it go, and I received peace. This morning, I received a call from one of the companies that had come out 5 years ago just wanting to check and see if I needed anything and if I would like them to come out and give a quote next week. How amazing and good is that? The perfect timing without me having to figure out a thing. I'm so thankful for a heavenly dad that fathers me perfectly and takes care of all my needs. And as I write, these verses come to mind, and it fit perfectly, a confirmation of his grace and all of his needs. Matthew 6, 3, 4, and 6 through 8. Folks, listen, this is so wonderful, and this is a part of what happens when you let Jesus come off the pages of your Bible. Things like that and so much more will begin to happen where people think that you're just lucky or it's just a coincidence. But no, it's not. You're starting to really enjoy the presence of the Lord. Well, you can go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us. I really encourage you to subscribe to the Adventures in Grace YouTube channel. And by all means, go to our website, which is just jimhockaday.com, and share with us, just like this, your grace stories to jhmi@jimhockaday.com. We want to hear what God's doing with you. It's so important in this day. Until next time, wow, have yourself a great grace-filled day. In Jesus' name.